So, and forgot to mention before that inside this little entrance to the meditation hall, on the opposite side from the skeleton, is a Tibetan tonka depicting the Paticca-samuppada, or the Wheel of Life. I don't know if some of you have seen it or not, but it's a very graphic and illustrative type of artwork that has the whole Dhamma kind of right there in a picture, with 12 links of dependent origination on the outside, and there's Yama, the Lord of Death, that's holding this Wheel of Life in his claws, and he has 5 skulls on the forehead. There's 5 skulls across his forehead. Those 5 skulls signify the 5 aggregates. And he's holding this Wheel of Life, the Paticca-samuppada. And inside the 12 links, there are the 5 realms of rebirth. Or maybe there's 6, I'm not sure.
You can just go bring it.
No, no.
Oh.
They can look at it if they want.
Oh.
Has the realms of rebirth. And then in that, in the hub-like, there's a picture of a man being dragged downward, and another picture of a monk going upward to heaven or to Nibbana. And inside that, there are 3 animals, a pig, a snake, and a chicken. And those represent greed, hatred, and delusion. The pig signifying a delusion or ignorance, the snake symbolizing hatred, and the chicken symbolizing greed. Sometimes people change those, but anyway. So anyway, that's kind of the whole thing. You know, greed, hatred, and delusion is driving the karma that drags people down, negative karma that drags people down, positive karma that lifts people upwards. And then the various realms of rebirth, and then the 12 links of dependent origination. Now I want to inquire, how many people in have been able to, in their meditations, and the guided meditation I did yesterday morning, and on your own later, about tuning into impermanence. How many of you are beginning to kind of get some feel for impermanence in terms of being able to notice things coming and going? So raise your hand if... I want to give another sort of guided meditation on that this morning, because it didn't get recorded yesterday, and some people wanted to have some recordings of these guided meditations, because they can be useful to listen to, on your own from time to time later on, just to, if your mind isn't able to get into it kind of on its own in a more focused way, then that can help one to get focused on that. But just a few final little words about this kind of meditation and tuning into impermanence is focusing also on the sixfold sense sphere. The Buddha gave an important discourse called the All. And he said, what is the all? That means everything, you know. What is the all? It's the eye and seeing, the ear and hearing, the nose and smelling, the tongue and tasting, the body and feeling, and the mind and cognizing. Which means basically, I mean, that's all that's happening in our, you know, from moment to moment. With the importance that there's nothing seen and there's nobody that's seeing. It's just the phenomenon of the eye seeing objects and consciousness arising, the nose smelling smells, smelling arising. And so just the basic contact and the consciousness. But within that, there's no I or self or any type of permanence or anybody that's causing it to happen, controlling it, or owns it. And so that's called the right vision from the Aryan point of view. It's a very powerful type of contemplation because it allows the ice cube of the ego to kind of melt away. And people have attained enlightenment just through that kind of observation or cultivating that type of insight. And there's a very popular and famous story from the Buddha's time that illustrates that. There was a certain ascetic, that means a monk, not a disciple of the Buddha, actually some wandering ascetic. And he saw the Buddha walking down the road one day. The Buddha was out for his alms round. And so, you know, this monk had been told by others, you know, wow, you know, go ask the Buddha, you know, for some meditation instruction. He's really, you know, good. And so this monk went to the Buddha when he was on his alms round and stopped him and said, oh, please, can you teach me a meditation in brief? Just a brief meditation. And the Buddha said, well, now is not the right time. I'm on my alms round. Why don't you come back in the afternoon? He said, no. I really need to know now. Like, you know, please teach me just very short. And Buddha, again, he said, now is not the right time. You know, why don't you come back after lunch? So this guy was really insistent. You know, he kept on saying, no, please teach me. And so normally when people ask the Buddha three times, he gave in and he did their request, usually, or answered their questions. So then he said, okay. In the seeing, there's only seeing. In the hearing, there's only hearing. In the smelling, there's only smelling. In the tasting, there's only tasting. In feeling, there's only feeling. And in thinking, there's only thinking. And that's all the Buddha said. And that ascetic said, I got it! And he left. And the Buddha continued on his alms round. And then, an hour or two later, it seems this monk was crossing a road and a wild bull came running down the road and stuck his horn, you know, his big long horn, into the side of the monk, probably pierced his heart. And as it was going in, the only thing that came into the monk's mind was feeling. And he dropped dead. And he attained enlightenment in that moment also. So the import is that there's no one that's feeling. And there's nothing felt. That means the mind's not saying, oh, that's pain, or that bull just gored me, or, you know, no thoughts about it. Just the pure, unadulterated experience. without any contamination of the, you know, thinking mind. And so the mind was liberated. So he dropped it. And then some other monks heard that, and it came to the Buddha later and said, you know, that ascetic, that, you know, you gave instruction. What did you do? My God, he died. The Buddha said, don't worry. That monk was a sage. You know, that, in other words, that monk attained enlightenment. The Buddha knew that he attained enlightenment at the time of death. You know, that's very short. You know, if a person could actually do that, you know, be able to stop the mind from creating perceptions, dragging in memories, the past and future, even creating the sense of self, the mind could become liberated. But because it's maybe not that easy, all the other types of practices, you know, watching the breath, scanning the body, you know, practicing metta, doing all these other things are basically just preparations for, you know, the ice cube of the ego finally to melt and let go. But then you can really see what the mind is clinging on to. And just as we mentioned that about, you know, it is possible to attain liberation at the time of death if one really prepared oneself. And there's also the story of a monk who committed suicide. Actually, he wanted to cut his throat. And people advised him against it. But he did it anyway. And while he was doing that, he probably applied the same logic, but he attained enlightenment at that time. But don't try that. This monk had, you know, prepared himself for a long time before that, I guess. But anyway, but it all depends on the power of one's insight, especially the insight to be able to have that kind of mindfulness that's aware of all the strong images, feelings, or emotions that might be coming up, and to let go of them, as well as even to dissolve the sense of oneself. That's even dying or doing something. Again, all that takes preparation. You can't kind of think you're going to wait to the last minute and then, but the Buddha say, oh, I'll do that, yeah, and then you may not have the same results. So anyway, so this morning we want go through another sort of meditation on the impermanence and kind of working up to that, to include the image of the empty house is also very powerful. The Buddha, along with those six senses, the Buddha has likened this body as an empty house. So we have doors and windows, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, and the mind are considered, you know, called the sense doors. We have these doors and windows, and, you know, they're always, you know, sounds are banging on the ear. Hey, listen to me, listen to me. Sights are banging on the eye. Look at me, look at me. Smells are banging on the nose. Smell me, smell me. But there's nobody home in the ultimate sense. Or that's at least the training. And so if the mind gets to that point where it's relaxed and centered and well concentrated and not reacting to things, then to get that sense of an empty house kind of is easy to feel that, and it's a very pleasant feeling. Just the things that are coming and going, even pains or itches, or loud sounds, or even thoughts coming up in your mind. But there's a sensitive microphone in the house that knows, which is the pure awareness, but it can't do anything. It can't call 911. Or it can't get out its gun and shoot somebody. But it's a sensitive microphone that knows. So it's just the knowing, the successive moments of hearing, seeing, tasting, smelling, touching, thinking. It's like those dots that are individual dots, just radar lights on a radar screen, you know, just blip, 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 blip. And basically that's all that's happening from the moment you're born. The moment you die, we're talking about in the, you know, the bottom line kind of psyche experience, mental phenomenon. That's what's occurring. So these are all aspects of contemplation, and gradually, what we try to tune our mind toward, if we want to really. Get the, you know, the most out of the practice. Anybody have any specific question just about just that, what I've just been mentioning? Okay, so then go ahead and take up a posture. First of all, adjust your posture. Just feel the buttocks, the feet, the legs pressing the floor. Just feel that solid contact, the body to the ground. It's like a huge rock boulder half buried in the earth. And feel the inward curve of the lower spine, the natural inward curve. See how that helps to support the upper body, the weight of the upper body. And then gently lift the spinal column upwards, vertebrae by vertebrae. Just imagine there was a string tied to the top of your head. Somebody was pulling that string upward on a pulley, making the spinal column go up and to a straight line with space between the vertebrae. and feeling the head balanced on top. It's like a basketball balanced on top of a stick. And find that center of gravity of head and spine over the hip. A point where you could either go backwards or forward. Try to hold that feeling of the sitting body in the mind's eye. And relax the face muscles. Relax the jaw. Relax the eyes. Relax the shoulders. Begin taking a few deep, slow breaths. Feel the dynamic expanding and contracting of the abdomen, rib cage, chest. Hold the air in a few seconds. Allow the oxygen in the lungs to transfer to the bloodstream. Feel the long, relaxing out breath. With each out-breath, feel the body and the mind just relaxing and settling into the middle of the body, to the present moment. Just breathing in, sitting. Breathing out, sitting. Really make an effort to try to keep your chin up level to the ground. Notice the difference in the brightness of your awareness. Just keep tuning in to the breathing process, developing some basic concentration. Try to notice the beginning, the middle, and the end of the in-breath. And the brief pause. The beginning, the middle, and the end of the out-breath. And the brief pause. Just let the breath return to its own normal rhythm. Don't control it any longer. Just continue to feel it. Shorter, subtler movements. The expanding and contracting. Notice how each breath is different. Sometimes it's longer. Sometimes it's shorter. Be alert for distraction, for thoughts trying to sneak in. Try to notice more finer, subtler details, sensations of the breathing process. As you try to notice how quickly sensations arise and vanish. Sensations of the in-breath. Sensations of the out-breath. while feeling the breathing, so be alert for other sensations happening near the breathing, perhaps the heart beating or the pulse. Or any other sensation, prickling sensation. Or any sensations in the stomach. Don't look for them, just keep the mind awake. They naturally appear in the awareness. Keeping grounded to the breathing in the middle. Is cultivating perception, insight, impermanence, the in-breath arises and vanishes, the out-breath arises and vanishes. Pulse arises and vanishes. Prickling sensation arises and vanishes. Another in-breath. Maybe a sound. A couple sounds. Out-breath. Just slowly, ever so slowly, just open the awareness a little bit more. Notice other sensations or sounds. Or even thoughts in the mind. Coming and going in and around and through the breathing awareness. Any sounds take the attention, recognize it as just hearing. Don't create stories out of the hearing. If the mind starts thinking about it, it's just thinking. Stay connected to in-breathing. The out-breathing. In between the breaths, check and correct the posture. Get the nervous system in optimal readiness, alertness. At the same time, be relaxed. Relaxed but alert are the key qualities of the meditative mind. And body. Gradually let the momentum of noticing sensations pick up speed. In breath, pitch, sound, out breath. Body movement, an out-breath, a couple sounds, in-breath. It's like a slow-moving train leaving the station, building up speed. Noticing the flow of sense stimulation. Through the nervous system. Without grasping, without rejecting, just being open to what is. There's always something else to notice. There's no need for the mind to get stuck on any one thing. Notice something else. Keep it moving. Let the awareness ride the wave of impermanence. Just floating effortlessly from moment to moment. Body feeling sounds, thoughts. Just feeling, hearing, thinking, one after the other. Or even several at the same time. Don't make it difficult. Just relax and open. Open to the life. The living process. The two streams of the material and the mental. Coexisting, interacting, effortlessly. In the space of awareness, and try to feel this body and mind is like an empty house. It's there, things are coming and going. But there's nobody home. To react. Painful feelings are just painful feelings. pleasurable feelings are just pleasurable feelings. Just bubbles arising and vanishing. And thought bubbles arising and vanishing. Letting the momentum pick up speed. Don't give the mind time to cling on to. It's all happening by itself. Where is there any I controlling? Or if there is a sense of I in the mind, just another thought bubble, just a shadow of consciousness. Just an ice cube floating in the ocean of awareness. That ice cube of the I exists only in proportion to the identification and clinging to any object. Try to observe that when the mind is clinging, the eye seems real. When the mind is just floating on the wave of impermanence, the sense of I appears hollow, starts to melt away. Can you let that sense of that ice cube melt? What is holding me back? And come back to get in touch with the breathing. Just feeling each in-breath rise and vanish. The out-breath, arise and vanish. And start to feel or just imagine those breaths get slower and slower. Fainter and fainter. If you're able to, just sort of imagine that after the next out-breath, the breath wouldn't come back again. See if you could imagine the consciousness realizing the body is useless, starts to leave. You can imagine the consciousness expanding out of the body. You can imagine the body laying on a bed, hospital bed. Just imagine the awareness kind of hovering over the body. Kind of confused, disoriented. Then gradually realizing I'm free. Just be able to look down on your body, dead body, lifeless body. Maybe your friends or family come in and say, oh my God, she's dead. And you're saying, don't worry, I'm free, don't cry. You're saying, no, no, please come back to us, don't die. But you can't communicate with them. But you're experiencing the expansion, the light. That pain-ridden body. Whatever strong memories of that life would come into your mind. Is there any strong experiences, unfinished business, would pull the mind back? Somebody you haven't forgiven. Strong habit. And kind of feel that the consciousness is being pulled back towards the body. Slowly being pulled back into the body. Maybe it wasn't your time yet. You say, no, no, I don't want to go back in. It's so blissful outside. You feel yourself getting pulled back into the body. Your family sees your eyes flutter and they say, oh, she's alive. And the EKG starts moving again. The doctor says, she's alive. And you start feeling the pain. Again, of the body, all the fuss, the commotion. And even though it was pleasant outside briefly, your attachments to your loved ones, things you want to do start coming into the mind. Start coming back into your old mind. There's still more work to do in this world. Getting back in touch with the breathing, the pulse of the heart beating, some more sensations. And now that you know that life is fragile, that death can happen at any time, what would you want to do with your life? The rest of the life. What seems important now? Stay grounded in the breathing body. Just continue these reflections or awareness. As it comes. Flow of impermanence.